Welcome to the Christ Life 2021. We are attacking the Bible in the beginning of the year with this whole beautiful truth of redemption story that we want to share with you. It's going to be a great, great journey, and we're excited to be able to share it with you.
You know, we are Jesus people, so we're Bible people. Yeah. And we're going to look at John chapter 5 for right off the beginning and kind of just break this down a little bit, because when you understand how Jesus and the Bible are together, it really enhances, it really grows, it really electrifies your walk with the Lord. So let's look at it together. Starting in verse 39, says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in my own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me." So Jesus is standing before all these religious leaders, and he's trying to help them to understand that they've got their nose in the book. And standing right in front of them is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we know that Jesus is with the Heavenly Father and with us in the Spirit. And there is a distinction between this, the Bible, being just a book, and a book that is telling us and is about Jesus. When you approach the Bible as a mere book, then all you're trying to do is to grow your brain. And the funny thing about a brain, I like what Dallas Willard says about the brain. Your brain, my brain, is just another piece of flesh. And so there are people that approach the Bible as a way of building the muscle of the brain, just like they would lift weights. And there really is no benefit in that when you do it absent of Jesus. When you approach the book and you approach the book looking for and desiring to interact with Jesus, then it comes alive. There is a change that happens with the book. And so Jesus, as he's talking with the religious leaders, is trying to help them to understand that our life is not found in the book, that his life was before them, but it's part of the book. And so when we approach the Bible, when we look for Jesus in the scripture, there is a life that begins to happen because we begin to understand who he is. We begin to understand how he is. We begin to understand how he operates. And so the beautiful thing is that, well, Jesus is not just in the book. He is alive and active in the world today. But for me to understand where he's alive and active in the world today, I need to understand how he was alive and active in the world that he was in scripture. And when I recognize it there, I'm able to recognize it out here. And yet it's in that moment that I'm reading the scriptures, that the Spirit begins to make it alive to me, that now it begins to show things about who he is, who I am in relation to him, how much he loves me, how much I can live a life in him, free from the hangups and the problems of this world and this life, where I can find the hope that he brings for tomorrow, the hope that he brings of the future. And this is really where we want to take you over the next, this week and the next 10 weeks, is on this journey of discovering a God that is really right in front of you, a God that desires to interact with you, a God that desires to be part of your everyday life so that ultimately you can be part of his everyday life. And there's nothing more exciting. There's no journey better taken than one that is taken by the leading of Jesus Christ. But really what makes that full, what brings the color to it, what brings the description to it in everyday life is the Bible. So when we say we're Jesus people, we have to be Bible people, because we will only grow in our knowledge of Jesus, in our understanding of Jesus, as we grow in the knowledge of Scripture.
Absolutely true. In fact, this whole passage, if you read the full context, and you will as we journey through redemption story, the whole context of this particular passage is where Jesus came into Bethesda's pool, and under the instruction of the Spirit of God, his living relationship with the Father, he's informed by this Spirit by which he is birthed. He's born of the Spirit, but he's also baptized by the Spirit of God. And so he has this living, dynamic interaction with the Heavenly Father, which is informed by his reading of the Scriptures as well. And so he is, I guess he's not a Jesus person. He's a Father person, but he is a God person. He is the God man. And so in this fulfillment of the will of God, he moves in to this area, and he brings healing as a gift from God to this one person and instructs them. And then they're leaving there, and they're accosted by, I'm sure by the people who want to know, how did you get well? And then also accosted by the religious people who are going, why are you carrying your mat? It's a Sabbath day, and blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, the guy who healed me told me I could just take my mat and get out of here. Well, who's he? And he said, well, I don't even know who he is. And so it's a kind of an interesting story as this goes on. But they then question Jesus about this. And Jesus' answer is a really dynamic answer. Why are you doing this on the Sabbath day? And Jesus said, because the Father is. This is the beautiful truth of it. He's saying, look, I'm informed by the Father. I'm in a living relationship with God. So it's not just a knowledge-based, book-based, academic relationship that I have with God. It's informed by this, but it's a living, Holy Spirit-empowered, dynamic, fluid thing that God is doing inside of my life every day, every hour, everywhere, with everyone. And it's that I'm living out of. And this is what he has come to bring and deliver to you and me. And so when we talk about the Christ life, this is the exciting life we're talking about. We're not talking about, some stodgy, boring, I got to sit and learn. There's going to be a test in the morning, and I have to get all the right answers and have all the right dates and the numbers. No. It is a living, dynamic, powerful, exciting relationship that we have with God. And it involves the Scriptures, because the Scriptures testify of God. It involves the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit magnifies the reality and the glory of Jesus Christ inside of our lives. And it involves the church, because we are the ones who are called to glorify the Lord, to live and move in the same way that Christ did, so we are in the world. And that's what he told us. He said, the same way I've been, I'm going to now commission you to be. The same glory that I've had from the Father, I'm going to pass on to you. The same way that the Father sent me, I'm now going to send you. And so this is the context in which all of this happens. And it's really interesting, because when they're pushing back against him, he's pushing back against them with their own Scripture. He's basically saying, look, you guys have the law. You have the law of Moses. You have the Scriptures, and you search the Scriptures because you believe they testify of me. And they do. They do. You look for Moses, and you go after Moses' truth and teaching. And if you were really believing what Moses believed, you'd love me, because Moses did and Moses does. And it's just this really powerful, exciting thing. The Scripture testifies of Christ. He is the Word made flesh. He is the living Word. And here's the beauty. When you expose yourself intentionally, like you're going to over these next, basically 10 weeks, as you expose yourself to this story, this truth of the Scripture, you're going to find out this isn't just Shakespearean writing. This isn't just, you know, another book. This isn't a Tom Clancy novel. This is a living, powerful Holy Spirit tool that God is going to use to testify into your life of the living power of Christ, to testify to you of the opportunity and the possibility. And you're going to experience what we talked about a little bit last week when you were talking about Hebrews, where the word has the capacity, because it's alive, because the Spirit of God is working, he'll get right down to the deep parts of your life, the thoughts, the intents of your own heart, and make you aware. And the beauty of that is when God makes us aware of these things, it is the God of heaven, the scripture testifying to us of this opportunity for a living relationship with Christ. And if you don't have one, well, then you can have one. There's the beauty. It's not to say, oh, well, now you're condemned because you don't. Now you're aware that you don't. And here's where to go now. Here's how to pursue this. Here's how to begin to believe these things. I love the Bible for lots of reasons, but one of the things I love about the Bible is that it does not ever present its heroes and its players in larger than life proportions.
Right.
When you read other literature, especially when they're trying to get you to believe somebody they're larger than life, you know, they have an axe that weighs 500 pounds or you know, they spit fire or they do things like that. The Bible never presents that. The Bible's heroes are not very heroic many times. You know, Abraham, when you read through, and you'll see this in Redemption Story, you know, he's a bit of a stinker sometimes, as is David, as are all the others, the people that God uses. Because here's the beautiful truth. God isn't asking everybody to be amazing and awesome. God is amazing and awesome. He's just asking everybody who's not to open themselves to a relationship with the one who actually is. And there's the scripture testifying to us of God. So there's the people that it presents, and they're average everyday people. But there is a code to understanding the Bible, if you will. It's not a secret code, but maybe a key is a better way to say it. A key to understanding the scripture is that the scripture is about Christ. And this is where the Pharisees went wrong. If Jesus is standing right in front of them, he is making himself available to them. He's saying, I've come to set captives free, which includes you in your captivity to this religious rule and regulation. I've come to set captive people free. And right in front of you, here's this capacity. Here's this opportunity. Here's this possibility. And yet you push back and you reject because you don't believe the scriptures. If you believe the scriptures, you would receive the testimony of the scriptures, because the key to understanding the scriptures is Jesus Christ himself. Everything that God has made known is for us to be able to know who Jesus is. It says it this way in Hebrews. It's a really wonderful verse. God spoke, and I'll just kind of paraphrase, from the first chapter of Hebrews. God has spoken in so many ways in times past to the fathers by prophets and various other manners and methodologies. But in these last days, he is making known his will in his Son, because it is the Son of God that he has appointed to be the heir of all things. And it is by him that he made the world. It is by him that this redemption is being offered to you and to me. And so when we're going to be in Redemption Story, that means we're going to be in Christ, because the scripture testifies of Christ.
Right. And the beauty of it is that the Holy Spirit then takes and magnifies that.
Yes.
Because what happens is that when, if you approach it, like I said earlier, just like any other book, you're going to be relying on your own devices to try to come up with things. You're going to just try to rely on your own ability to understand things. But Jesus said, it's good that I go, because I'm going to send my Spirit, and he will guide you in all truth. The Holy Spirit ultimately magnifies Jesus in the scriptures for us, both in a large way, and I think even a medium way, and in a very small way. Think about it this way. If you've ever had a chance to look at a telescope out into the stars, you're able to zero in on something that's a long ways away. The Spirit has this ability to help you to understand things both past, present, and future, because he begins to open it up for you. He begins to help you to understand and see things in a new light. But then there are times where, like if you've ever been hunting and you take and you look through a scope, now you're looking at something far off and you're trying to zero on something really specific. Well, the Holy Spirit then, he begins to then show you things about your life, about very specific things that he, I think that for me, when I think about all the characters and you were talking to the different people in the Bible, the Bible's not about perfect people. It's about a perfect God. And but what I learned from imperfect people is how God deals with and helps, they actually become my mentors as the Holy Spirit magnifies Christ and how Christ works through each and every person. And so I can look at their life and the Holy Spirit say, yeah, you have that same kind of problem there. Let me help you through that. And so he begins to show me how Jesus will guide me into a place of freedom. But then if you even think that, I think even goes further, because as you mature in the Lord, as you begin to, okay, Lord, I understand that principle. I understand that method. But what about this? Then it's like going into a microscope where he begins to show just how one word in all of the scripture begins to explode before you, because you look in that microscope and you're able to zero in on the things that typically are unseen by the naked eye. But the Holy Spirit begins to open it up and begins to reveal things to us in a way that we say, oh, yes, I see Jesus even in that smallest part. And the two differences would be the logos and the rhema. The logos is the written word. We come to the written word, but we believe that we are coming to find Jesus. And because we're coming to find Jesus, it's going to become the rhema or the spoken word. Now there's this interaction where the Spirit begins to magnify Jesus in our lives. So this is where it becomes a treasure to us. It becomes a place where we want to go after it. We want to look for it. So when we talk redemption story and we say to you, we want you to journal. Don't approach this soap model with just your brain. You're going to be incredibly disappointed. I know that anytime I just rely on my brain, I'm incredibly disappointed. Mm-hmm. But God is involved in the process. The Holy Spirit is there to magnify things. So before you begin, even before you begin the soap process, when you sit down, just say, Lord, would you begin to magnify Jesus in this for me? We're going to open it up so that I might understand you better, that I might understand us better, that I might understand how you want to guide me and use me better. And then when you begin to read the scripture, and then what's going to happen is the Holy Spirit is going to cause you to observe things. One part is going to stand out. It's not that you're in there, I've got to find it. No, the Holy Spirit will it. And then the Holy Spirit will begin to help you to understand how to apply that. And you write that down. And then your prayer is going to be much different than from the beginning. Because now you're going to be asking Jesus to come and to help and to help shape you and mold you into the kind of person that he ultimately desires you to be. Because before the foundation of the world, and get this, he predestined you. He predestined me. He predestined Rex to be conformed into the likeness, into the image of Jesus Christ. And he does that as the Holy Spirit magnifies the word as we are in the Word.
That's awesome. I love the picture of the various scopes, you know, way out into the heavens to these long distances and then kind of right nearby and then to the things that are so unseen. This is the reality. You know, and everywhere you go, there is this amazing joy of discovering that the God that the Scripture testifies of isn't mean-spirited, nasty. He's not far off. He's not unconcerned, unavailable. He didn't wind up the universe and walk away. This God loves sinning sinners who sin while they're sinning and loves humankind in its fallen state still enough that he delivers the deliverer. He brings this Messiah to us. He provides to save us from the judgment that he's placed upon us. When God saves us, he saves us from himself. It is his righteous judgment that the wage of sin is death. But that wage is paid through the gift of God, through Jesus Christ the Lord. And so it's a powerful thing. And the scriptures, everywhere that you read, they testify of this kind of a God. So that when the Holy Spirit then comes, the Holy Spirit is coming not to beat us down, but to convince us that in fact this is the truth. That if God was able to use Abraham, if God was able to use Samson, if God was able to use Ruth or you know, all of these, if God is willing to work in the lives of people like Paul, who had powerful, I mean, just he was these Pharisees. Mm-hmm. He was this guy. He was so devout about it that he was out killing Christians. Mm-hmm. And God transforms his whole world. God, by the Holy Spirit, just sweeps in, and all the scripture is re-spoken into his life. And now, in the context of Christ and the glory of Jesus Christ, he now has the Holy Spirit testifying inside of him everywhere, every day, among everyone, so that he can what? Glorify God. So that he, as a believing person, can live and move and speak and teach and think and act in a way that continually is committed to glorifying God. And there's the reality. This is what obedience glorifies God. Yieldedness glorifies God. Understanding, receiving this redemption that God provides glorifies God. The fact that we are transformed by the word, that we go from being mean-spirited and hateful, selfish people to being compassionate, generous, kind people. Well, that there's nothing accidental about that. And there's nothing praiseworthy. Oh, look at them. They reformed themselves. That's a self-made man. No. We're God-made people. We are God-made people, and there's the beauty. We are made then in the image of God. And so as the scripture testifies, as the Holy Spirit magnifies, then the church responds in an obedient, yielded way that glorifies God. We actually bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes about it in a lot of different places. One of the ones that I'm thinking about is in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, when you have a real full view of the mercies of God, you then will find yourself wanting to give yourself without spot to God. You'll offer yourself, your body, as a living sacrifice. You know, just yield yourself to God. Offer yourself to God in body and soul and spirit. And you're going to experience a transformation. Your thinking and your choice making, your decisioning, your willfulness is going to be less about you and your rights and your ways, and much more about the life of the Spirit of Christ and the glorious will of God being done inside of your life, so that you begin to prove what is the will of God, the Word of God, the truth of Christ, and you begin to live and move out of this. Because when you do, someone somewhere is reading your life. You're living in relational realities, all of us, and someone's watching. You know, if you have children, someone small is watching everything you do. It's kind of an interesting, ever have a parent who's, your kids do something, you go, where did they learn that? Well, you just look in the mirror, because that's pretty much where they learn those kind of things. But this is the reality. When we begin to be changed by the Spirit of Christ, we become an epistle. We become a letter. We become a testimony as well. Like the scripture testifies, so the spirit-led life testifies. Mm. As the spirit magnifies Christ inside of us, now we, in obedience, begin to glorify God in the earth. And people will ask, where did that hope come from? Where does that joy come from? How can you be so kind of steady and calm in the middle of this crazy world in which we're living? And the reason is Jesus. This is the answer. Because there's Christ in me. Christ is alive in me, and I'm informed by this real relationship. Paul says of the Corinthians, he said, you know, there's a whole bunch of people out there carrying letters of authorization. They're carrying these, you know, oh, I have an assignment from such and so, and I'm here on the authority of the king or whatever other kind of thing. And Paul said, you know, you guys, we don't need a letter. You guys are the letter. You are the letter, because God is writing his story of redemption inside your life. He's doing things inside of you, and those things testify to the effectiveness of our relationship. God changed our lives, and we brought these changed lives into your lives, and by the Spirit of Christ, by the Scripture, by the work of the Holy God and the living Christ inside of you, now that same thing is happening inside of you. And everybody who sees you is reading that. And what they're reading is Jesus. They're reading the Scriptures. They're reading the life of Christ. It's exciting.
You know, we don't want you to do this alone. We don't want you to be off. And as we go through redemption's story, first of all, that you can find in the link down below, you can find all the schedule to all the Scriptures. But we want you to be part of a group. I believe that just another way that the Holy Spirit magnifies the Word is, as you were talking about, in the life of others. And as we come together and we share what the Lord has been speaking to us about, you're going to find one of a couple things. You're going to find, first of all, that the things that he's speaking to you about, he's speaking to others about, which really brings a place of confirmation. It brings a place of confidence that you are in a living relationship with the God Most High, that you're not just on your own. But the other thing you're going to find is that you're going to find that God is going to illuminate new things as you're listening to what he's doing in others. And it's going to create a greater hunger for Jesus. And you're going to find yourself going, well, I just want more and more and more. And so we want to bring you together in that process. So if you want to be together with others in that process, click the link below that says connect. You're going to have to give us some information so we can connect with you. And you can be part of a Zoom group. Doesn't matter where you're at in the country, where you're at in the world. You may have to get up in the middle of the night. Not sure. But you can be part of a group because we want you to be part and partner in the Christ life. So let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to just bless our time with him over this next 10 weeks as we begin redemption's story. Would you lead us in prayer there?
Father, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for everyone that we've been able to share this time with. And as we commit our hearts and souls and spirits and minds together to journey through this amazing story of your redemptive work in humankind, we just pray that it will profit each and every one in the most powerful, the most revelational, the most exciting and real way, and that each of us, from the youngest in the faith to the most mature in the faith, will grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of you opening to us these Scriptures over these next 10 weeks. We believe you for it. We give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen.